Several days ago, I heard someone say, somewhat jokingly, that he definitely prefers real weddings in the Gospel of John to stories about weddings in the Gospel of Matthew. You know, in John's Gospel, water gets turned into wine, and the wedding reception, which seems like it's really fun, just goes on and on with Jesus himself at the party. But in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us parables about people who don't wear the right wedding attire and get thrown out of the church, or who aren't in line when the wedding party starts greeting people and find themselves shut out of the room with all the dancing and feasting. Well, today's parable is about the wise and foolish bridesmaids. In the King James Version, they're called the wise and foolish virgins. One of the odd things, I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but one of the odd things about this story is that the ones called foolish, they didn't really act foolish. They were prepared for what was both expected and reasonable. The bridegroom should have arrived at noon so that the party could continue into the evening before winding down. The ones called wise, they're pretty neurotic. Afraid that their lamps might fail in the darkness, and in the words of Robert Capon, dragging along bleach bottles full of kerosene just in case. They're irrational. But the bridegroom arrives on the scene 12 hours late, and only the crazy bridesmaids have enough oil for their lamps to party and dance through the night until dawn. The story that Jesus tells us reflects the world as it really is. Unexpected things happen all the time. Sometimes beautiful, sometimes terrible. Who expects to lose a job suddenly? Who expects to go through a difficult and painful divorce? Who expects the doctor to report back the worst possible diagnosis? Who expects to come to church and find not acceptance and peace, but annihilation and death by someone with a weapon of mass murder? We know these things happen. They happen to us. They happen to our neighbors and loved ones. They happen even to people of faith at a place like First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs. And we want God to show up in a timely manner to right these wrongs. Too often we misread the wise bridesmaids and ourselves not as neurotic and irrational, but as some kind of superheroes who can tough it out while we wait for good to triumph. In Gail Godwin's novel Evensong, the main character, Margaret Bonner, is a 33-year-old Episcopal priest in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. And at one point, she finds herself serving on the Commission on Ministry. And that's a diocesan committee that recommends to the bishop people for ordination as a deacon or a priest. And in the novel, on a weekend retreat, the Commission on Ministry interviewed 6 men and women who were in discernment about ordination. One of them, a high school teacher, was candid and genuine about his unepiphanic hike up the mountain of faith until he stumbled into what Margaret describes as the mysterious chapel of acceptance. And after their face-to-face conversation with this teacher, he was easily recommended, unanimously. Someone rather different, who was also hoping to become a priest, wrote an impressive but cold paper on why she felt she was being called to offer her administrative skills to God in the second half of her life. This was the dean of a business school who ran her interview like a meeting she was chairing. As Margaret recalled the encounter, she told us that her favorite passage in Scripture was the wise and foolish virgins, because she had always identified with people who make it a point to keep their lamps filled. My theology of pastoral care is based on personal accountability, she concluded crisply. She was unanimously turned down. Margaret then stated, I left the conference feeling renewed and invigorated, even though I was the one who had to call the sponsoring rector of the wise virgin and to write the letter to the rejected woman. Now, I dare say that most of us, if we're being honest, aren't usually overconfident like that business school dean when it comes to believing that we're prepared at all times for all things. There might be moments when we imagine ourselves to be like that, and there are certainly moments when we pretend to be in the presence of others. But then comes reality. Holly Hollerith is the Bishop of Southern Virginia, and I worked for him when he was the rector of Bruton Parish Church in Williamsburg. But Holly and I first met along the Grand Strand of coastal South Carolina. I was newly ordained and serving a church in Surfside Beach, which is just south of Myrtle Beach. And Holly was a little further south in the small but historic seaport town of Georgetown. The town, like the church that Holly served, had colonial roots. And although quaint, it's hardly a well-known low country destination. As a boy on summer vacations with my family in Myrtle Beach, I only knew Georgetown as the location of a paper mill, and that's because when a strong wind blew north, the smell was terrible. Anyway, once on an afternoon in the early summer, Holly was standing outside the church rectory where he and his family lived. He was getting ready to back his boat and trailer into the driveway. And he had gotten out of his vehicle for a moment because he had noticed that the trash can was blocking the driveway. His attire was fairly typical for a summer day that had been spent out on the river. A pair of ragged shorts that were once red but had faded to almost pink. A t-shirt with a big hole in the front of it. Muddy tennis shoes and a sweat-stained boat hat. He was also unshaven, and he smelled like fish. So he went over to the trash can in this glorious, fishy state to move it. And that's when a man walked up and said in an English accent, "Hi, I'm George. You must be Holly." And looking at this friendly gentleman who appeared to be in his late 50s, Holly suddenly realized that standing before him with his hand stretched out in greeting was none other than the Most Reverend George Carey, who was Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1990s. Mind you, they'd never met before. Holly just recognized his face from photos. He later learned that Archbishop Carey was on a vacation to the United States and was secretly staying at the home of a retired bishop in his congregation. That bishop had brought the Archbishop of Canterbury by, unannounced, to meet Holly. Needless to say, Holly didn't expect that to happen beside a trash can in his driveway. He fumbled for words, and then realizing his vehicle was still in the street, he excused himself to move things where they needed to be. But he was so discombobulated that he climbed into the back seat first. He tried to recover by looking under the front seat as though he had meant to search for something there all along. And finally, with the boat and all safely in the driveway, Holly resumed his conversation on the sidewalk. And Archbishop Carey was kind, and he was gracious, and they had a lovely dinner together that same evening. At the end of the day, I have a feeling most of us are going to encounter God the way my friend encountered the Archbishop of Canterbury. Not at a glorious liturgy in Canterbury Cathedral, but standing beside a trash can into which parts of our lives have been tossed while not wearing our Sunday best. Some of us might be neurotic enough to be prepared for that. Most of us, however, won't be prepared in the least because of the unexpected timing, and we'll trip over our words, awkwardly trying to rearrange everything. And yet God will already have made his presence known and greeted us by name. He won't be distracted by our less than fine attire and the awful mess that we look like, which reflects the awful mess that we are. He will see us the way that Jesus looks at us. He will embrace us the way that Jesus loves us. He will invite us to dance and feast with him forever. And our tears of sorrow will be turned into tears of joy, enough to fill up those bleach bottles that the crazy bridesmaids drag around with them. And when that happens, I believe, finally, we'll be wise like them. the Savior's blood and righteousness. My beauty is my glorious dress. Thus well.